We're talking this morning to Joseph Menn, author of Fatal System Error, The Hunt for the New Crime Lords Who Are Bringing Down the Internet. He also covers cybersecurity for the Financial Times. Good morning, Mr. Menn. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right. This is a fascinating topic that so many people seem to be talking about, warning against. What's the warning coming from your book?
People don't realize how unsafe the Internet is. The Internet was never designed with safety in mind. They meant to get to it, and they just didn't before it took off. And things have never been incredibly safe on the Internet, and now they are much, much less safe. I'm running out of people I know whose computers have not been attacked by one virus or another, and people don't realize that it's organized crime that's behind it, typically in Eastern Europe, but sometimes in China. If you do any sort of banking business online, if you have personal information like social security numbers, the odds are very good that information has been prized out of your computer and sold and resold in underground bazaars. The head of the Justice Department told me that half of all credit card numbers are in the hands of the bad guys now.
And so why don't people see this day to day? I mean, millions of people do banking online. They do commerce online. And occasionally you hear about a breach, or sometimes you see an anomalous credit card transaction. But it doesn't seem to be that widespread in terms of people's day-to-day lives.
Well, one of the things the reason it's sort of like the proverbial frog in the pot with the temperature going up slowly. One of the reasons there hasn't been a human cry about this is that people don't know what's going on. If there's a fraudulent credit card charge, the consumer spots it, the credit card company will almost always reverse the charge. They stick the retailer with the penalty, and then the retailer has to eat it, and he or she raises prices a little bit for all the customers. So we're all paying slightly higher prices for everything because of what's been going on with identity fraud, and so there hasn't been an outcry. That's starting to change, though. If people use debit cards online, that's much riskier. That's a direct line to your bank account, and you might not be able to get those charges reversed. In addition, the bad guys have got very stealthy, what are called Trojans, they're aiming at small businesses now, which do have more money in their online bank accounts and are at greater risk. So a lot of those people have lost $100,000 here, $200,000 there, and in those cases, the banks are sometimes saying, we're not going to cover you, your computer got infected, you're out of luck. So there's actually lawsuits starting now.
Yeah, these are the man in the middle or the man in the browser type attacks that start out with a phishing email toward financial people. That seems to be the latest modality.
That's certainly one vector. There are unfortunately quite a few. They do start often with phishing emails. I'm thinking now of the Zeus botnet, which is kind of the latest and greatest, but there will always be another one that comes later. Another very popular way to get infected is after the bad guys have compromised a legitimate website. So you don't have to visit any place particularly sketchy on the net. They got the New York Times website. And we're infecting that. Fortunately, that only was trying to peddle people what's known as scareware or fake security software.
We're talking this morning to Joseph Menn, author of Fatal System Error, The Hunt for the New Crime Lords Who Are Bringing Down the Internet. So you're suggesting that the government should do more, and yet private industry is really rejecting a lot of government's involvement in what should happen as far as their cybersecurity is concerned. So how do you solve that problem?
Well, this is an exception. I mean, in general, the technology industry has been pretty libertarian in outlook. They want to be left alone. But cybercrime has been an exception for many, many years. There was a delegation of chief information officers from all of the top security companies, software companies, who went to Washington, had a meeting with Bush and Bush the second, and asked for a presidential commission on organized crime online, and they didn't get it. They have wanted more a more activist government here because they have no chance of figuring this out on their own. Now, the big problem is that nobody's really in charge of the Internet. It's more than anybody else, it's the Internet service providers, but they can't do this on their own. They need a lot more direction from Washington, and there needs to be new law, and there needs to be a lot of research that the federal government is in the best place to spend. The only other thing I'd say is that the federal government needs to use its buying power, and people believe it will start to use its buying power to demand greater security built into the software they buy.
Yeah, because if the greatest minds in the cybersecurity industry and the people that run the Internet and operate the ISPs put their brains together and can't come up with anything, mainly what you're saying, it sounds like, is what the government can add is money.
Well, money and rules. You know, if they set standards on what they buy, and that would, then that will sort of spread out. People, you know, a big corporate customer will say, well, if a system with these holes plugged is what the feds require, then I'm going to require that too. So and there will be the capability to provide that because they've already been trying to do that for the government. So I think that could have a pretty beneficial effect. You know, there are other things. My book is pretty much it's a true cyber thriller. It's about the hunt for some specific bad guys in Russia and what happened, how they were actually sent to jail, which is an extremely unusual case. But the last chapter of the book is all recommendations, and part of that's political and part of that's technological.
So if it is Russia and in certain cases China that's committing this cybercrime, do their governments have anything to say about it? Have they done anything to try to enforce the law in their own country?
There have been some Chinese crackdowns on some cyber criminals, but it's not the worst guys. The worst guys in China are working at the direction of government to basically steal Western commercial know-how and Western military secrets, and they're doing a bang-up job. This was most recently in the news with the Google attacks. Google and a couple dozen other companies. And Google's a very sophisticated, wealthy player in this. And if they can't secure their own networks and protect their own intellectual property, then, you know, God help the average small, medium business, anybody doing business over there.
Now, the federal officials say, though, that it's very difficult. This is what they say publicly. It's almost impossible to trace the ultimate source if it is, in fact, a nation state that is launching these attacks. Do they actually know better and they just don't say so in public?
Yes, they do know better and they don't say so in public. It is true that attribution is a real pain, but we have a lot of walks like a duck, talks like a duck situations here. In the case of the China attack, there's been some really good research. Say a couple things I would point out. First of all, there were networks of computers that were at schools affiliated with the Chinese military that were used to launch both to launch the attacks and to receive the data that was sent out by the compromised computers inside Google, Adobe, Symantec, and others. If you were actually a lone rogue operative, or you were from some other country, it's highly unlikely you would pick some of the most closely monitored computer networks in the most closely monitored, internet country to launch your attacks. Not very subtle. There were also algorithms that had only been published in the Chinese language and security papers there. And one researcher I know very well and respect said his colleagues had met the man that had written code to take advantage of the hole in Internet Explorer, the web browser, which was the most popular means of attack in what are known as this Aurora campaign against these companies. That guy has had military people looking over his shoulder for years. You don't get to be a top security researcher in China looking for flaws and writing code about it without the military getting advanced a look at your work. So, I mean, that's China. Yeah, okay, they don't know, you know, they haven't yet found the guy in Chinese government who gave the order. They might. But it is blindingly obvious that the Chinese government was behind it. Russia is a different deal. Russia, what you have is organized crime, very effective, powerful organized criminals who are after your money and are doing a bang up job. And they have an alliance of convenience with the Russian government because the same individuals and their networks of compromised computers, which are known as botnets, can be used for things like denial of service attacks, which shut down websites of those the Kremlin disagrees with. This has happened in Estonia in 07, in Georgia in 08, and it is still being used against Russian, former Soviet republics that come to policy differences with the Kremlin, and against internal dissidents. People like Garry Kasparov have their websites mysteriously shut down by denial of service attacks. It's the same criminals. My book really proves it, because there are specific bad guys that the British police are trying to catch, and they send a detective there for 3 years, and they catch some low-level guys, and he says, well, what about King Arthur? We know where he is. And the Russians say, no, they're friends with this guy, so they tell him the truth. And they say, well, no, the FSB, which is the successor to the KGB, they know where he is, too, and they're not really interested in arresting him right now.
Interesting. We're talking to Joseph Mann, author of Fatal System Error, The Hunt for the New Crime Lords Who Are Bringing Down the Internet. So which agency in the federal government is responsible for going after these guys, and why aren't they doing it?
Okay. Well, the FBI and the Secret Service, mostly the FBI, both have law enforcement prerogatives in the area. The FBI also serves a counterintelligence function, and so that they're significant in that way as well. The State Department has now gotten involved. Hillary Clinton gave a big speech and pointing a finger at the Chinese, but she's broadened it to talk about censorship of Google and other search results and that sort of thing. So that gets a little more complicated. The Commerce Department has a hand in this in terms of technical standards that they set. And the National Security Council is very significant. That's the body to which the new cyber czar that Obama finally appointed, Howard Schmidt, is reporting.
Yeah, because you mentioned that the Bush administration did not give these high-level executive delegation the commission they wanted. And yet President Obama as well appointed Howard Schmidt, took him 9 months to find somebody for that job, and the level is not even Senate confirmed, is not at the elbow of the president. So it sounds like there's not a big change in policy from one administration to the next.
It's been a disappointment for people in the field. They were fired up when Obama gave his speech in May. I mean, a president devoting an entire speech to cybersecurity was a big deal.
I was there.
But one of his big points was that he would appoint a cyber czar, and he picked Schmidt in December. By that time, a number of people turned down the job. The job did not have the stature which Obama had promised in his campaign, and had a dual report to Treasury and to the National Security Council. Schmidt was able to knock that down, so he's just answering to National Security, but he doesn't have the line authority that many people hoped he would have.
Well, it's a complicated problem. It's not one that will get solved readily, and I think your book goes a long way to pointing out the problem. Do you have solutions in there, too?
I do. The last chapter is all solutions. I mean, I've been trying to write a book on cybercrime for 5 years, and because I think one of the big problems is that people don't realize how bad it is. And as I said, it's getting rapidly worse. The banks are losing four times as much now as they were just a year ago to online fraud. People don't know what's going on because nobody has an incentive to tell them. The Microsoft and Dell and HP want you to buy more computers and not worry about it. Law enforcement doesn't want to talk about cases where they can only catch, you know, 1 in 1,000 or 1 in 10,000 of the bad guys. And the security companies that sell you antivirus and firewalls and stuff like that want you to be scared enough to buy their products, but not so scared that you realize that their products won't actually protect you from everything. And then, you know, on top of that, it's just complicated technologically and politically. And so what I was trying to do in my book is put some real human faces on it, follow a couple of heroes as they go after bad guys, and then see why they failed to get as high as they could. And then, yes, then it's all recommendations and talking about what is really a matter of geopolitics and a matter for diplomats to deal with.
Well,
no,
Mr. It sounds fascinating. Can't wait to get a copy and read it. But thanks so much for joining us to talk about it today. Joseph Mann, author of Fatal System Error, The Hunt for New Crime Lords Who Are Bringing Down the Internet.